Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
We've got a really bad cop story here tonight, and we could fill the show with these things. There are so many different incidents of police abuse and violence, unnecessary police abuse and violence that
police
happen.
Police are humans, yeah.
That happen. Well, they're humans who believe they have power over others, and by all evidence...
Just about everybody believes that.
They do have power. Well, you mean just about everybody believes the police have power over
That's
others.
Correct.
Then by all evidence, they do, in that they can get away with things like murder and walk away without any kind of serious consequences for it. That's what happened in Arizona. I guess it was, about a year or over a year ago? The story coming out of azcentral.com.
Well, it's relevant because the court case just took place and the verdict was just handed down.
That's correct. In this case, a Maricopa County jury on Thursday, that's the very same county in which people would re-elect over and over again Joe Arpaio, who was known as America's toughest sheriff. And ultimately, he got in a little bit of hot water for some corruption issues toward the end of his career. Got ended up on federal contempt of court charges. And then I think Donald Trump actually gave him a presidential pardon. Shaver was kneeling, crying, and begging not to be shot after he was confronted by six Mesa police officers in a La Quinta Inn and Suites hallway January 16th, 2016. Brailsford, the officer who was fired 2 months after the shooting, also a rarity when it comes to police and misbehavior. Frequently, they'll be put on a paid suspension while their case is investigated, and then ultimately, when they are exonerated from all charges, they are brought back on duty.
Yeah, this guy clearly didn't have the temperament to be a police officer and shouldn't have been wearing the badge.
He was fired again 2 months after the shooting, testified that he fired his AR-15 rifle 5 times because it appeared that Shaver was reaching for a gun. Brailsford said in his testimony, quote, "If this situation happened exactly as it did at that time, I would have done the same thing." Lainey Sweet, who is Shaver's widow, says she had no comment to make about the verdict as, crying, she exited in an elevator with family. Mark Garagos, Sweet's lawyer, called the shooting an execution. "The justice system is failed miserably with Daniel Shaver and his family," said Garagos. Brailsford's attorney, Michael Picaretta, said he had expected the jury would come back with a positive outcome for his client.
What I think is worth pointing out is that, somehow here in the United States, we've got a problem with police shootings.
It's not like this in other countries.
Right. It's clear. All you have to do is compare the United States to other countries.
Like Iceland, where they've only had one police shooting.
Since the country was founded.
Yeah.
Germany, where they have like one every year.
Didn't they also
like
have a public funeral for the guy who was the victim
and
in the police shooting in Iceland?
Yep. Yeah. And the police showed up.
Yeah.
And the guy absolutely deserved it, by those standards. I'm not saying every perp that's shot somehow should be lifted up on a pedestal and given a parade or anything.
This guy
like
wasn't
that.
A perp. He wasn't even, committing a criminal act. It wasn't like he was holding somebody hostage or anything like that.
Innocent man that was shot because the police officer interpreted one of his movements as going for a gun, and ultimately you can always interpret a movement as going for a gun. You know, that's kind of the problem here. He was laying prone on the ground with his arms straight out. The officer could have just gone and put cuffs on him.
Right.
But instead, we had to play this long, drawn-out game of Simon Says where the guy gets shot at the end.
That's what I wanted to focus on.
This is not the actions of a professional law enforcement officer. These are the actions of somebody who was A, a bully, and B, scared.
Nobody else is in the room? Nobody. Nobody.
Absolutely positive.
Okay. Since apparently we have a failure for you to comprehend simple instructions, I'm going to go over some of them again, okay? Can you both hear and understand me?
Yes.
All right. If you make a mistake, another mistake, there is a very severe possibility you're both going to get shot. Do you understand that?
Yes.
I do.
Yes.
All right.
What the?
This is, shut up. I'm not here to be tactful or diplomatic with you. You listen, you obey.
This is policing in America today. You listen, you obey. And officers like this get off on telling people this stuff. They love to control. They love to put people into these situations, which is completely unnecessary here. This man is maybe 30 feet down the hotel hall here. And again, this officer is not alone. He's backed by almost half a dozen other officers in this hotel room. You have two individuals. Now, it's possible that the man's lying, right? That there's a whole gang of people in that hotel room waiting to blast the officers as they, you know, come around the corner. So maybe that's the excuse that the officers would use as to why they didn't just go ahead, walk down the hotel room hallway, put cuffs on these two individuals and, you know, get them out of there and then search the rest of the room.
I wouldn't say that this officer would be guilty of murder in any circumstance. This would be closer to a manslaughter if you were, you know, trying to come up with a crime.
Found him not guilty of manslaughter.
Yeah, I understand. Well. I know what they did, and I understand why they did it. Also, if you're standing there, tense situation for 5 minutes, it's likely, and your finger's on the trigger, and it needs to be on the trigger in a circumstance like this, but these things happen. The triggers get pulled, and if you've got a gun trained on somebody and you accidentally, you know, you're just kind of jerked because they do something, pop, they're dead. Mm-hmm. I get why the jury reacted the way they did. It's just that I also understand police are not held to the same level of account that we citizens are.
Definitely
a concealed carry permit holder who shot somebody because he thought they were going for a gun because they reached in their pocket would not be held to the same standard as this police officer.
Doesn't seem likely that they would.
Put both your hands on the top of your head and interlace your fingers.
So once the officer says, hey, did I tell you to move? That's when he immediately shoots his arms straight back out in front of him. And when the officer then gives him the order to interlace his fingers on his head.
All these fast movements, obviously, in retrospect, the guy was moving too quickly.
He's scared. Yeah. I mean, that's why when he walks out of the room, he shoots his arms up in the air as soon as he sees that there are cops in the hallway. So, I mean, this guy is clearly not somebody who, at least to me, who's like going to shoot it out with the cops.
No.
He's scared.
Yeah.
As soon as he sees these cops trained, you know, with guns on him 30 feet down this hallway.
Take your feet and cross your left foot over your right foot.
Oh,
okay.
Boy.
The first thing he does is he crosses wrong, and then he corrects the cross. So again, another indication that maybe he's not thinking too clearly or thinking about at all what's, you know, being said clearly before doing what is being said.
I'm going to miss left and right anyway.
It can happen.
Now, put both your hands in the air.
Uh-huh. Okay. She does that.
Okay. Crawl towards us.
Wait. How is it? Who in their life, when they're a baby or a small child and crawling around, doesn't crawling normally entail having all four, you know, your knees and your hands on the ground? I mean, have you ever seen someone crawl while shuffling forward with their knees on a carpet with their hands in the air?
Right. I'm not I know what the officer means, but I'm not three beers in and I don't have five AR-15s pointed at my head.
He means move towards us.
Right.
But he says,
so kneel,
crawl.
Walk.
If she, who she does, you know, not get shot. It's the guy, Mr. Shaver, who gets shot.
Right.
So she's going to end up in cuffs here in a moment. She moves towards them. She does not crawl. If she had all of a sudden dropped down because she was, you know, too inebriated and she heard the command crawl after she just raised her hands, what would the cops have done to her? They'd have blasted the hell out of her because she made some quick move, which is why they end up blasting this guy, because he makes a move that the cops didn't tell him to make. And we'll get to that here. Here's more. The guy said, I'm so sorry. So she's shuffling her knees forward here. And you can kind of see it off frame.
Okay, young man, listen to my instructions and do not make a mistake. You are to keep your legs crossed. Do you understand me?
Yes, sir.
You are to put both of your hands, palms down, straight out in front of you. Push yourself up to a kneeling position. I said, keep your legs crossed!
I'm sorry.
I didn't say this.
What is... Okay. So he makes a big mistake right here. He puts his hands behind his back. He wasn't told to do that.
Yeah.
But he does.
He just wants this over with, you know?
He's, you know, it could be seen as a potential threat, obviously, right? He could be going for a gun in the small of his back. That's what the officers are thinking here, okay? So I get that. I get the fear. I get that. So anyway, this guy doesn't do exactly what he was said. But what's with this legs crossing thing?
So they can't run away.
His order was to be kneeling, okay? So he said, you know, get up and... you know, kneel. So he was completely prone.
Harder to go from knees, you know, on your knees to up and running with your legs crossed.
The man's sloppy, obviously. His speech seems somewhat impaired. He's sloppily trying his best to follow the orders, it seems. I think earnestly he's trying to, but, you know, he's just not with it completely. And so he makes a couple of mistakes, and this amps the officers up. And at one point, he actually, and you're going to hear it again because I backed it off, backed the video up slightly for those of you just tuning in. This is the point in the video in which they've successfully managed, throughout, even though giving her confusing orders, to get the woman to move forward down the hallway towards the officers, and they've cuffed her. Now they're going to deal with the guy.
Push yourself up to a kneeling position. I said, keep your legs crossed!
I'm sorry.
I didn't say there's a conversation.
Put your hair!
Hands up in the air!
Now, what he had done was he'd put his hands behind his back. Not a good idea when you're dealing with trigger-happy, psychopathic, potentially murderous officers that are pointing a bunch of weapons at you down
the
hallway.
Well, these officers are in a situation where they've got a guy with a gun, and so...
No, he did not have a gun. He was completely unarmed in this situation, but they didn't know that. Okay, so I understand why the officers are on edge. That's why I said I thought this guy was going to get shot as soon as he put his hands behind his back. I mean, it looked like... to all, you know, people in that hallway, it probably looked like he was going for a gun. He moves his right arm. He pulls it back from the crawling action, and he just kind of pulls it back towards his waist area. Now, why is he doing this? The man...
pants are falling down? From crawling?
Could be, or maybe he's losing his balance, and he needs to kind of... he's drunk, right? He's losing his balance as he's trying to crawl, and maybe he just needs
four,
to...
You've got four appendages on the ground. You shouldn't be losing your balance.
He's... I don't know, man. He's drunk.
He reaches towards his belt for something that does not exist.
Who knows what he's doing? He may not even be reaching towards his belt. He
just
moves
his arm
back that direction for some reason. He doesn't have a gun on him, so he's not going for a gun, but the officers don't know that, and so they think that he is, and... and that's it. And then you have a dead man in a hallway who did not have a gun at any point, and he's dead because he moved his arm in a way the officers didn't want. Again, completely avoidable had they simply walked down the hallway, if they weren't cowards, and cuffed this man.
We're just talking about how it just dragged on for so long with all these different instructions and just all the yelling back and forth when... really, I mean, eventually they have to move in, massively outnumbering this guy with all the cover fire. They're in a hotel hallway and just take this person into custody because that's what has to happen. And he wants it to be over, clearly. But you see that a lot. A lot of guys have standard operating procedure. And they just surround and then just continue to yell series of long, aggressive instructions, which can be obviously overwhelming and frightening to the person.
The guy sounds so sadistic, the police officer, with not de-escalating the situation rather than escalating it by yelling and weird commands. You know, the whole thing is just so bizarre and so sad.
It's horribly sad. But, have you seen the video or did you just listen to our commentary?
No, I heard about this first on the Michael Savage show. You know, I drive a lot on the weekend nights, you know, after my shift and everything. But so I heard about it last night, and I was so disturbed because I guess the guy who was shot has two little kids at home.
He did.
And
cops didn't know that.
Cops don't care.
And then I guess the barrel of the rifle had something engraved on it, like something like F-U on it.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for reminding me. We didn't get to that part of the story yet. Let me pull that. Yeah, let me pull that up here. Apparently, the officer in question actually had engraved on his rifle, "You're effed."
Yeah.
That's what his rifle says. You're effed right over where the trigger is on this thing. Now, if that doesn't tell you something about the mindset of this individual, he's not there to protect and serve anybody. He's there. He joined the police so he could kill some people.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy. So I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
My curious question is, too, is while they already had him face down on the floor, why did they not just go ahead and put him in handcuffs and commit a personnel search?
Yep.
Or, as one thing I was taught when I was in the military, if you did not want to go hands-on with a particular person, tell them to actually do what you want them to do as far as lifting up a shirt, check their waistband to make sure there's nothing hidden in it.
Yep.
Yeah, the waistband thing, the shirt thing probably would have been a good idea. I presume they have these procedures for a reason. I can see why they wouldn't want to be this guy was.
Well, that's a dumb presumption. You're talking to a guy who was in the military who had different procedures.
Sure.
So, whatever the reason is for this, to me seems to be to confuse the hell out of the intended victim to give the officers the excuse to shoot somebody. That seems to be the reason here.
It's pretty clear.
What do you think, Julian?
Well, and my next question, too, is why does it take six officers with AR-15s pointed at one gentleman in a hallway to take him into custody when you could have told three to four of them, hey, go ahead and put your AR weapon down, go non-lethal, and why was non-lethal not an option at the time?
Hearing your perspective gives me a greater sense of confidence in our system. But if I'm just hearing from one or two guys that are Trump groupies, then that distorts everything that's happening out here.
Well, I don't really understand, what exactly you want. We've been critical of the federal government's FBI on this show since before Donald Trump was in office, since before Barack Obama was in office. So we've always been critical of policing agencies in the United States. And it's likely that the more power these police agencies have, as the FBI has more power than the local cops in a lot of ways, the more power any agency has, the more corruption you're going to find within it. The investigator noted that he didn't see anything that would have prevented officers from simply handcuffing Shaver as he was on the floor. Oh, and here's the other interesting detail. We had a lady call in to remind us, I just hadn't gotten to this part in the story yet, that the officer who did the shooting had "You're effed" written out in full word that we can't say on the radio on his gun. It was engraved on his gun. That alone isn't enough of an indictment about the attitude, the mindset of who this officer is. But most importantly, the judge did not allow jurors to know about the etching on the man's gun because the judge felt it was prejudicial.
It is prejudicial.
Meaning that he's prejudiced against the people he's supposed to be protecting and serving.
Right. So, that's a separate issue, the UREFT on the gun. It does speak to the attitude
officer.
But the officer wasn't the one giving the orders or anything like that. To some extent, the officer was reacting to a situation as it was delivered by his superior. I will say this regarding that point. The officer should be that officer, and any officer that has something like that inflammatory on the side of their weapon that suggests that they're not out there to serve and protect
right.
the people that pay their paychecks. Any officer that has anything like that should be fired. Any superior,
he's a psychopath,
who sees that and allows that should also be fired. And as far as I'm concerned, we can wipe out a good 15% of the police force in America just for that stuff.
I'm an electrician. I work like I'm working live, even if I know I'm not working live. In other words, you have to be aware of your own safety
right.
at all times. Now, I understand the difficulty of being a police officer to the extent that they are like walking around with a bullseye on them for most of the time. And I have utmost respect for the fact that they'll put the uniform on. But the fact that you just said this guy has etched on the side of his firearm, that kind of inflammatory. It's insane that he would have that etched on his firearm.
Yeah.
And he's out there protecting and serving.
Mm-hmm.
And the attitude of people now is becoming one of fear where it shouldn't be. We're all equal. An officer of the law has a job to perform, and a citizen has a duty to perform. They're not supposed to make the officer feel uncomfortable. You know, when I get pulled over, if it's a traffic stop or something, I comply. I don't give the cop an attitude because I don't know what he was just dealing with. Now, these cops, there's six grown men in a hallway. The investigation clearly said that this guy was already disarmed down. He wasn't even armed, but I mean,
well, they didn't know that. You know. They didn't know that at that
but
point.
That's something that they never know. That's what I'm getting
right.
at.
I don't have a lot of comments here, and I'm glad we live in a so-called free society. But you cannot watch the video. You cannot look at it. This is state-sponsored, cold-blooded murder. That's what it is, plain and simple. It's cold-blooded murder by this guy, and the state covered his butt and made it so he could go out and kill someone else, and they swept it under the rug. It went through the jury system. That's all great. I really can understand how African-Americans feel when they talk about justice for all, because that guy had no justice. He had, I mean,
right.
a jury... You know, it's cold-blooded murder, plain and simple.
We got another military guy commenting on the Free Talk Live forum on this. There's a discussion in the general discussion section. The title is Murder of Daniel Shaver. Speaker 0311 says, this isn't the same old, same old. This video would have put me and my guys in prison if it happened in Afghanistan.
I'm not terrified. I'm just watching this, you know, as a disinterested third party, and I'm also not drunk, and it was confusing to me too. How are you going to crawl if you can't put your hands down, but you're supposed to crawl? I didn't get that.
Yeah.
And the guy, he said the way that this could have been handled better, would have been better trained from the cop, would have been have him stand, hands up. We call it a felony traffic stop procedure, where you stand, hands up, you know, you hold onto the collar of your shirt, and you lift your shirt up so that your hands are nowhere down low.
Uh-huh.
So they can see your belt, and you do a 360-degree rotation.
Yep.
And then you stay in place, you know, you come back toward them walking backwards so that, and then they can pat you down, and then everything's okay. And that's where they went wrong. And also with regards to the writing on the gun, that doesn't just go for police. That's a bad idea. That's a bad idea for anybody. And I see all kinds of guys doing idiotic things like putting Punisher skulls on their guns and all kinds of cutesy things on there that make it look as if they're eager to shoot someone. And that's
sure does.
Thing. I mean, if you have to use it in a justified situation, no matter how justified, that's going to be, you know, bait for any juror, any lawyer. And,
right. You're not going to get the same.
Luckily, the judge protected the jury from being able to see that evidence.
Right. You're not going to get the same benefit the police officer did in this circumstance. If you paint I shoot bad guys on your gun, you can better believe the jury is going to find that out.
When you're offering a job of the full power of government and you're giving a badge and a gun, and you get to act with immunity and impunity and unaccountability, you do tend to draw demented people.
Sure.
That can be a fact. I mean, you talk about people that want to be, you know, what do you call it, heavy badge.
Badge,
you know, they're
heavy.
On a power trip, man.
Yep.
Badge heavy. That can be what they like. They love that. They love the fact that they feel that they're above the law. You know, I mean, here we're talking about murder. We're no doubt about it. But, I mean, you can watch, you know, in your own local town. You know, they won't be en route to a call. They'll be doing typical driving. They won't bother to put on a directional. They'll run, you know, right through a red light. They don't give a damn. But you know, when you have that mentality of I'm above the law, gradually you begin to take it further and further and further.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't know if either one of you have ever been down to the region where the shooting here or the murder here happened. They're very pro gun down there. I don't get why. There were two people that contacted the gentleman at the front counter. Called 911. Why it would be a big deal? You have everybody down there with a gun, and a lot of the people are doing hunting down there. It shouldn't have been a huge deal that the gentleman had a gun. I can't think of the which political figure. It hadn't been Ron Paul that had been talking about it. There should never be a union in government, and he had been totally right on it. I mean, there should never be a union in government.
The only way that's ever going to change is if we get enough libertarians to move, I think, to New Hampshire, which is where we've had this great New Hampshire freedom migration going on now for more than a decade. If you want to try to change the law to get rid of all unions, then you're going to have a lot of work on your hands because those guys are going to come out and they're going to oppose it. And it's very hard to oppose unions because they're well-financed and well-funded.
My issue can be I don't have an issue with the union being for a private company. I have an issue with a union being in government. Government,
well,
you're talking about a monopoly.
That's what I meant. Yeah, that's what I was talking about, getting rid of government unions because they're going to come out and they are well-organized and well-funded. Hey, I heard you wrote a blog post about the whole crying Nazi thing. I didn't get a chance to read it, but I did read the one that you entitled that the jail can – no jail can hold you?
Oh, God.
That's right. No jail can hold me, fellas. And even before I managed to get myself out of there, I was not well contained by that facility.
What do you mean by that?
Meaning you could make telephone calls?
Meaning that I could make telephone calls and people would publish them on my website in a podcast format, which, you know, in my book, what happened down here is people tried to shut me up, and the point is they failed.
Ah, yes. You do have a big mouth. I mean, it's gotten you in a bit of trouble over the years. For listeners that aren't familiar, Chris is a former co-host of Free Talk Live. We kicked him off because it turned out you were a racist, but and you are. Were arrested at the Charlottesville, Virginia rally that was being held back in August, or not at the rally, but you were arrested a few weeks after that. And there was some white supremacist, white nationalist types who were fighting with Antifa types, and arguably the Antifa people started the fight. You were involved in it and used pepper spray to, you say, defend yourself, and there's video of that happening. But yet they managed to charge you with something about releasing noxious gases and then holding you in a prison cell. Is it illegal in Virginia? Because some people have made this allegation, and I haven't looked at the actual charges, how they're stated. But is it illegal to use pepper spray in self-defense?
No, it's not illegal to use pepper spray in self-defense.
Okay. Because Virginia is that crazy state where you can't even have like a radar detector, so I didn't know what the
That's a weird law, and I think that Virginia is the only state, or maybe there's one or two others that have that.
That's right.
Other than that, I mean, you know, the self-defense laws here are not completely ridiculous. It's just the enforcement that's going on, right?
So you think that you can beat these charges. You're going to trial in February. They finally bailed you out on, what was it, $25,000 bond?
Yeah, $25,000 bond. I've got a GPS monitor on my ankle. I literally can't even take the garbage out, and I'm not allowed to have a firearm.
You can't take the garbage out?
I literally can't take the garbage out. I have to stay inside these walls.
It's too far from the little transponder thing.
So you're on house arrest, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it's not that it's too far from the transponder. Like, literally, like, my ankle bracelet is a GPS monitor. If they wanted to give me if they wanted to alter the conditions of my bond, I could get in a car and drive to New Hampshire, and they'd be able to monitor me the whole way. It's a GPS monitor.
Probably previous to tonight and listening to what you played of the incident in Arizona.
Yeah, the shooting.
I haven't agreed. Yeah. Yeah, I have not agreed with the negativity that you have towards the police. But after hearing that, I think you changed my mind. I have a friend that's been outraged about the police shootings and violence for quite a long time. And his answer, which I know isn't going to happen, would be to disarm the police.
It works in the UK, right? Don't the bobbies only have a club or something like that they can use?
Right, but they have guns like in cars.
They do have a SWAT team or whatever. Jeff, I just want to make sure I'm clear here. I'm not negative generally towards police. I want them to be able to actually go after real criminals who are violent and hurting others and, you know, murderers, rapists, things like that. But I think that they're so busy arresting pot smokers and, you know, peaceful men in, you know, enjoying their evening in their hotel room and underage drinkers and things like that. That's what's destroying people's relationships with the police, is the fact that the police are not their friends. They are essentially an occupying force that is arresting peaceful people left and right. And I think that's a problem.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.